In the minds of these people, I am a stringent parent who will accept nothing less than absolute correctness in your understandings of who I am. If you are not correct in the understandings at which you have arrived, I will punish you. You can be as pure in your intent as possible. You can be so filled with love for me that you overflow. I will cast you into the fires of hell nonetheless, and you will suffer there forever if you come to me with the wrong name on your lips, the wrong ideas in your head.
It is sad that so many people see you that way. This is not how a friend would behave at all.
No, it's not. And so the very idea of having a friendship with God, the kind of relationship you have with your best friend, who will accept anything given in love, forgive everything done in error, that kind of friendship is unfathomable to them. Then among those who do see me as their friend, you're right, most of them hold me at a great distance. They do not have a working friendship with me. It is rather a very distant relationship that they hope they can count on if they should ever have to. But it's not the day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute friendship that it could be.
And you were starting to tell me what it would take to have that kind of friendship with you.
A change of mind and a change of heart. That's what it would take. A change of mind.
And a change of heart. And courage.
Courage?
Yes, the courage to reject every notion.
Every idea, every teaching of a God who would reject you. This will take enormous bravery because the world is contrived to fill your head with those notions, ideas, and teachings. You will have to adopt a new thought about all of this, a thought that runs counter to virtually everything you've ever been told or heard about me. That'll be tough. For some, that'll be very tough. But it will be necessary, because you can't have a friendship, not a real, not a close, not a working, give-and-take friendship, with someone you fear.
So, a big part of forging a friendship with God is forgetting our fearship with God.
Oh, I like that. That's not an actual word in your language, but I like it. That's exactly what you've had with me all these years, a fearship with God.
Took a lot of time telling that story.
I just didn't know.
No. That wasn't a complaint. It was an observation. I merely meant to point out that this episode has obviously become very important to you.
It is. It was.
And what have you learned from it?
Never to make a promise I can't keep, especially with my children.
Is that all?
Never to use my knowledge of what someone else wants as a manipulative tool to get something that I want.
But people trade with each other all the time. Such trades are the basis of your entire economy and most of your social interactions.
Yes, but there's such a thing as a fair trade and there's such a thing as manipulation.
What's the difference?
Well, a fair trade is a straightforward transaction. You've got something I want, I have something you want. We agree that they are of more or less equal value, and so we trade. That's a clean transaction. Then there's exploitation. That's when you have something that I want and I have something that you want, but they're not of equal value. But we do the trade anyway, one of us desperately because he needs what the other has and will pay any price. This is what some multinational corporations are doing when they offer 74 cents for an hour's work in Malaysia, Indonesia, or Taiwan. They call it economic opportunity, but it's exploitation, pure and simple. Finally, there's manipulation. That's when I don't even have any intention of giving you what I'm offering. In some cases, this is unconscious. That's bad enough. But in the worst cases, it's done with full awareness that what's being made is a promise one has no intention of keeping. It's a stall. That's all, a technique designed to shut the other person up, to appease them in the here and now. It's a lie, and it's the worst kind of lie, because it soothes a wound that's going to be reopened deeper later on.
That's very good. You're growing in your understanding of what it is to have integrity. Integrity is important to all systems. If the integrity of any system is faulty, the system itself will collapse. No matter how sophisticated the construction, it cannot hold anything up if its integrity is compromised. Given where you say you wish to go in your life, this is good. Yet what else have you learned?
I don't know. Is there something in particular that you're driving at?
I was hoping you had also learned something about victimhood. I was hoping you'd remembered the truth, that there are no victims and there are no villains.
Oh, that.
Yes, that. Why don't you tell me all you know about that? You are the teacher now. You are the messenger.
Well, there is no such thing as a victim or a villain. There are no such things as the good guys and the bad guys. God created nothing but perfection. Every soul is perfect, pure, and beautiful. In the state of forgetfulness in which they reside here on earth, God's perfect beings may do imperfect things, or what we would call imperfect things, yet everything that occurs in life occurs for a perfect reason. There is no such thing as a mistake in God's world, and nothing happens by chance. Nor does any person come to you without a gift for you in his hands.
Excellent. That is very good.
Yet that's a hard one for many people. I know you made it all very clear in the Conversations with God trilogy, but some people are still having a hard time with that.
All things become clear in time. Those who seek a deeper understanding of this truth will find it.
Reading The Little Soul and the Sun will definitely help, as will rereading the trilogy.
Yes, and a number of people would do well to do that, judging from your mail.
Oh, wait a minute. You've seen my mail?
Please.
Oh.
Do you imagine there's anything that happens in your life that I don't know about?
I suppose not. I just don't like to think about that.
Why not?
I guess because some of the stuff that's happened is stuff I'm not so proud of.
So?
So the idea that you know all about it is a little bit discomforting.
Help me understand why. You've told your best friends about some of these things through the years. You've had lengthy conversations deep into the night in which you've told your lovers some of these things.
Well, that's different.
What's different about it?
A lover or a friend is not God. A lover or a friend knowing these things is not the same as God knowing these things.
Why not?
Because a lover or a friend is not going to judge you or punish you.
I'll tell you something you may not want to hear. Your lovers and friends have judged you and punished through the years a lot more than I ever have. In fact, I never have.
Well, no, not yet, but on Judgment Day.
Here we go again.
Well, okay, but tell it to me once more, will you? I've got to keep hearing it.
There is no such thing as Judgment Day.
And no condemnation or punishment ever, hmm?
None, except that which you inflict upon yourself.
Still, the idea that you know everything I've ever said or done is...
You forgot everything you've ever thought.
Okay, everything I've ever thought, said, or done is not very comfortable for me.
I wish it were.
I know you do.
That's what this book is about.
How to have a friendship with God.
I know. And I do think I now have a friendship with you. I've felt that way for a long time now. It's just that...
What? It's just that... What?
It's just that once in a while, I revert to old patterns. And I sometimes have a hard time thinking of you that way. I still keep thinking of you as God.
Good.
Because I am God.
I know. That's the whole point. Sometimes I can't seem to think of you as God and friend in the same breath. I can't seem to put those words in the same sentence.
That's very sad, because they belong in the same sentence.
I know. You keep telling me.
What would it take for you to have a real friendship with me and not just some kind of artificial one?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I know you're not, but if you thought you were, what would your answer be?
Well, I guess I'd have to trust you.
Good. That's a good start.
And I guess I'd have to love you.
Excellent. Keep going.
Keep going?
Keep going.
I don't know what else to say.
What else do you do with your friends besides trusting them and loving them?
Well, I try to be around them a lot.
Good. What else?
I guess I try to do things for them.
To earn their friendship?
No, because I am their friend.
Excellent. What else?
I'm not sure.
Do you let them do things for you?
Well, I try to ask as little as possible from my friends.
Why?
Because I want to keep them my friends.
You think keeping friends means asking nothing of them?
I think so, yes. At least that's what I've been taught. The fastest way to lose friends is to impose on them.
No, that's the fastest way to find out who your friends are.
Perhaps.
Not perhaps. Precisely. A friend is somebody who can't be imposed upon. Everybody else is an acquaintance.
Whoa, you draw up tough ground rules.
Those aren't my rules. Those are your own definitions. You've simply forgotten them. And so you've been mixed up about friendship. A true friendship is something to be used. It's not like the expensive china that never gets used because you're afraid you'll break it. A true friendship is like Corel ware. You can't break it no matter how many times you use it.
I have a hard time going there.
I know you do, and that's the problem. That's why you've not had a functioning friendship with me.
So how can I get over that?
You've got to see the truth about all interactions. You've got to understand how things really work and why people do the things they do. You've got to come to clarity about some basic principles in life. That's what this book is about, and I'm going to help you.
But we've completely lost track of where we were. You were talking about there being no victims and no villains.
We haven't lost track of anything. It's all the same discussion.
I don't get it.
Hang on a minute. You will.
Okay. So how can I have a friendship with God?
Do the same things you would do if you had a friendship with another.
Trust you.
Trust me.
Love you.
Love me.
Be around you a lot.
Yes, invite me over, maybe even for a long stay.
Do things for you, although I don't have the faintest idea what I could do for you.
There's plenty. Believe me, there's plenty.
Okay, and the last thing, let you do things for me.
Not only let me, ask me, require me, command me.
Command you?
Command me.
And I have a hard time with that one, too. I can't even imagine doing that.
That's the whole problem, my friend. That's the whole problem.
I should think it would take a lot of nerve for people to start demanding things of God.
I prefer the word courage. Yes, I've already told you that having a true working friendship with God will take a change of mind, a change of heart, and courage.
How can I rearrange my entire understanding of my right relationship with God to the point where I get that it's okay for me to demand things of God?
Not simply okay, but the best way to get results.
Okay, but how do I get to this? How do I reach that understanding?
As I said, you've got to understand first how things really work. That is, how life works. But we'll get into that in a minute. First, let's lay down the 7 steps to God.
Good, I'm ready.
1. Know God.
2. Trust God.
3. Love God.
4. Embrace God.
5. Use God.
6. Help God.
7. Thank God.
You may use these same 7 steps with anyone of whom you choose to make a friend.
You really could, couldn't you?
Yes, in fact, you probably do use them unconsciously. If you use these steps consciously, you'd make friends with everyone you meet. You really do have a father issue, don't you?
Do I? I hadn't thought about it in those terms.
No wonder you've had a difficult time thinking of me as somebody who knows everything about you. No wonder you've had a problem with the concept of God at all.
Who said I've had a problem with the concept of God?
Come on, it's okay. You can acknowledge it. Half the population of your planet has that problem, and for largely the same reason. They see God as a kind of parent. They imagine I'm going to be like their mother or father.
Well, you are called God the Father.
Yes, and whoever came up with that one should be ashamed of themselves.
I believe it was Jesus.
No. Jesus merely used the idioms and the language of his day, just as you are doing here. He didn't invent the idea of God as a Father.
He didn't?
The patriarchy, with its patriarchal religions, had established itself long before Jesus.
Then you are not our Father who art in heaven?
No, I am not, any more than I am your mother in heaven.
Well, then who are you? We've been trying to figure this out for thousands of years. Why don't you give us a break and just tell us?
The problem is that you insist on personifying me, and I am not a person.
I know that. I think most people know that, but it sometimes helps us to think of you as a person. We can relate to you better.
But can you? That's the question, can you? I'm not so sure you can. One thing I will say, keep thinking of me as a parent, and you'll have a devil of a time.
I'm sure that was just a turn of phrase.
Of course.
Well, if we aren't supposed to think of you as a parent, how should we think of you?
As a friend.
Our friend who art in heaven?
Exactly.
Boy, would that turn some heads around on Sunday morning.
Yes, and it might also turn some thinking around.
Yet if we could think of you as a friend rather than a parent, it might make it possible for some people to really relate to you at last.
You mean they might one day become comfortable with me knowing what their friends and lovers know?
Touché.
So what do you say? You want a friendship with God?
I thought I already had one.
You did. You do. But you haven't been acting like it. You've been acting as if I'm your parent.
Okay, I'm ready to get off that. I'm ready to have a fully functioning friendship with you.
Great. So here's how to do that. Here's how the whole human race can have a friendship with God.
First, you have to know me.
I thought I did know you.
Only casually. You don't know me intimately yet. We've had a good conversation, at last. But it's going to take more than that.
Fine. So how do I get to know you better?
Willingness.
Willingness?
You have to have a real willingness. You have to be willing to see me where you find me. Not only where you expect to find me. You have to see me where you find me and find me where you see me.
I don't understand what that means.
A lot of people see me but don't find me. It's like a cosmic game of Where's Waldo?